podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Win of the season, and it feels absolutely boss. That's a work so hard for it, but they all dug in, rode our luck a little bit, but just again, and I'm doing all of a dancing on the pitch. Tight game won by a moment of brilliance from Arnie Striker, Neil Mopay. Giving it loads to the West Ham fans, which is fantastic as well. Conor Cody and Tarkowski are coming over to the Garden Street. You're both great again tonight. Two clean sheets in a row. Here comes Frank Lampard. Everton at the best today, but that win's been coming. They've deserved wins before. I'm doing hard as here now. It's absolutely slow now. someone threw a phone on the pitch. And Arna picked it up and started videoing himself. I don't know what was going on there, but it was great. Wasn't one saying much there. Wasn't everyone just saving that winning feeling? But yeah, we'll be at the Danby Castle soon. But what should be an absolutely great post-match podcast with Rob Veer, who's over. Cannot wait. So we'll be back here in about 10 seconds. Get in. We're back in the Danby Castle for post-match show. There's a lot of people who want to talk about this win. All of a sudden, no one's here for the 1-1s against Forest or the losses to Villa. But we've got a cast of about 8 or 9, I'd probably guess. But the main man next to me is Rob Veerer. His voice has gone a little bit. How are you feeling after that, mate?
Oh, outstanding. I think my voice is still better than it was after the Palace game a few years ago. So, you know, it's great. No, outstanding. To get a win... right before the break, after four draws, you know, how we look at four draws is certainly influenced by the tail end of it, isn't it? Because now we go in with a win, and now it's 5 unbeaten, and it feels like 5 unbeaten. And so 6 if you count the cup game. So, no, outstanding all around. We'll go on to talk about it, but I just couldn't believe the difference in just the overall competency of the two parts of the two levels of the team, the midfield and the defense, compared to last season. It feels very night and day, and you certainly saw that in terms of the result today. And it feels like they've been building towards this.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's still work to do in some areas, but outstanding result today, good win against a good side, and it's hard to feel like anything but encouraged going into a break like this. And now we've just got to come out the other side, hopefully with Pickford and Calvert-Lewin fully fit, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, Warren Doyle, I think we probably could have played better at times this season, I think, than we maybe did today, but yeah. That win's been coming for a while, and, you know, the lads dug in, they deserved it, and it was very... It reminded me quite a lot of some of the wins we had on David Moyes late in his Everton career, where we weren't quite at it. The opposition had a few little goers, but we dug in, we hung in, and we just got over the line somehow, some way.
Yeah, it was a good, gritty performance. And I think that if we didn't win today, you start looking at it going, well, when's the first win going to come? So I think that's a monkey off the bat now that we've won that. The biggest thing for me was that midfield three. And... you know, we just look solid, we look tough to beat, and how many times could we say that last season? So the fact that we are looking more like a really structured side, good solid defence, you know, we still need to be able to try and score going forward more goals, because I think that is going to be ultimately our biggest weakness this season till we get Calvert-Lewin back possibly. But we just look so much more solid with that midfield three. Onana, Iwobi and Garner, I thought, were brilliant today. I thought Tomari Gray had a great game as well today myself. I really did. I thought he was productive when he needed to be. But I mean, I will be. I mean, has there ever been a bigger turnaround? I know it's being talked about ad nauseum now, but has there ever been a bigger turnaround in a central midfielder? And he's man of the match again today. Patson outstanding, but yeah, I think, keep it simplified, I think that midfield three won us the game today. Outstanding performance.
Adam Sutton, how are you feeling after that, mate?
I think it's just so nice to have balance and a team that, well, especially two midfielders, three midfielders really, that want to come and get the ball off the back four. How many times last season and the past couple of seasons actually have you got Michael Keane or Mason Holgate or whoever it is playing in the back two, looking up, seeing nobody coming to show and then dinking the ball out of play? It's the likes of Idrissa Gueye, I think we've spoke about it. It was a good signing, was it? One that's going to really excite us, but it's a signing that was needed and it's proven its dividends already, isn't it? And if you look at him, who's obviously your quality and experience, Onana, who's exciting and will get there, and Alex Iwobi, who is just the best midfielder in the world at the moment. So, all in all, top performance, 1-0, get into a break now, get the lads back and start to build on it, because I think it's this period, and I think you mentioned it just then, Matt, there's periods of this season where we've probably played a lot better and come away with nothing, whereas those types of results are the best ones, because it doesn't just build in terms of confidence, it builds in terms of points and getting yourself up that table.
Yeah, Les Roberts as well. I think like the thing that was like different to the game against them last season was like their midfield dominated us, didn't they? Rice and Suchek that day, and like we had Alan and Decore, and we were feeling quite good about those two at the time. But I think you look at the three we had in there today in particular, and the way in which they got around them, they smothered them, they stopped them from playing, it was night and day, wasn't it?
It was, and I just want to crack this joke again that today we got past packets of rice in midfield. Sorry. I did that on my mailbag before, it went down just as well.
Paqueta?
Yeah, Paqueta. All right. Let's not drag me into a conversation about booing, please, after last week.
Paqueta was at undies, by the way. Absolutely awful.
Oh, yeah, didn't notice him at all. It was, but yeah, it's like, there was mixed feelings about the end of the transfer window, and it was sort of like, you know, we didn't really sign the attacker we probably wanted to sign. It was a bit underwhelming, but it's plugged a lot of gaps, because that defence and that midfield, as you say, it's night and day from last season. We dominated that midfield. My only gripe from today was that Decore came on instead of Tom Davis. I think Tom Davis is ahead now.
In the height, he wants to hide from set pieces and stuff, because they were getting like quite a lot of corners, weren't they?
Yeah. Potentially, I suppose, yeah. But I think he made about four misplaced passes when he came on. He's just, I don't know, he's not the player we were used to, is he, at all? But yeah, it's just, you know, we looked like the whole game we were totally in control. My only concern was the final third, we weren't really going to make it happen, and it didn't really click at all. I thought the Mardi Gras had a good game as well, but it wasn't really like there was nothing really clicking until the one chance that Mopay had, who again ran his plums off all game and was sound, and sat in the park end. It was one of them where as soon as it leaves his foot, when you're behind the goal, I'm sure you've seen from the street end, you've seen it down the other end where it's on opposition, Drogba probably, where it's left his foot and you're like, yeah, that's in. It was one of them where it left his foot like, that's in. It was great, and it's just nice to have a clean sheet and that 3 points and the home win. There's a lot of monkeys off the back today with that game. It's really nice, and it puts us in a good position now. It was a very satisfying win. Yeah.
When you're in the position to argue about whether Davies, Decore, or you know, maybe Allen, if he ever gets played again, is the one to come off your bench, that right there is a testament to the level up that the midfield has taken in terms of the starting caliber players. And we were talking about this on the way out of the ground. Like, I don't know what is more remarkable, that they've been able to transform the midfield this quickly, or that it took this many years to get to this point. I don't know. One of them is damning and one of them is very impressive, but it's really just hard to argue with the results. You can say chicken or egg, the defense is helping the midfield improve, the midfield's helping the defense. It's a symbiotic relationship, and it's just it just gives you so much more faith in the product of Everton to see this much solidity for the first time in what seems like a decade.
Yeah. Keith, talk about the match winner, Neil Mopay. Like Les said, ran his plums off all day. And I was saying to some of these before, like, he's not the player I thought we were getting. Like, I thought he was, like, a bit quicker, he'd run the channels a bit more, but giving him into feet, around the box, his link play is great, technically he's fantastic, and summit that, wasn't it?
I tell you what, that man has earned his Underberg tonight, hasn't he?
That's what he's drinking when he gets home.
Oh, he'll be having an underbelg or two. Do you know what? For me, very different stature of player, and very. You don't think it automatically of him, but he's much like Marcus Bent was for us in 04-05, in that he'll come in. He's not a fashionable striker. He's not going to score you 30-yard worldies, but he'll run his bollocks off from the first minute to the last. And like you saw, he covered 12k in the derby. I'd be surprised if he's done less today. Right? You need that. If you're going to have a three-man midfield and a three-man attack, you need all six of them to press hard, fast, straight on the ball. Don't give them chance to play and set and play through your lines. And that's what we did today. I thought Mopey pressed well. Damari Gray pressed very well. I think his final ball was lacking a couple of times. I thought Gordon was poor going forwards, but he was all right defensively.
Gray, though, there's a couple he put across the edge of the box. It's like if Calvert-Lewin's playing, you can see him sliding in on the end of that.
Very frustrating, the balls that go whistle past the back post, and there's no one sliding in, no one's taking that gamble. The midfield three is designed to press. Like, there was never a moment where Declan Rice had time in midfield to get the ball and get his head up and pick a pass. There was always one of the three midfielders on his toes. And I think it's a good sign going forward. If that's how we're going to set up and that's how we're going to play, and especially with the new five subs rule coming in, when you're able to run...
for us today, didn't they?
When you're able to run your legs off for 65, 70 minutes and then bring on a fresh set of legs. Like's been said earlier, Davis was the sub, probably, in terms of legs. I get why, like, Doucouré's got the height. I don't think he actually won a header while he was on the pitch, but he does have the height. What I will say in terms of height and in terms of winning headers today, Onana was, to coin a terrible phrase, head and shoulders above. He was
very Fellaini, early days Fellaini today, wasn't he?
He was very Fellaini today. He won every header he challenged for, he won. But he didn't just head it off aimlessly. They were knockdown headers so that Gay and Iwobi could get on the ball. And I think we'll do all right with this setup going forward. Get Pickford back in, get Calvert-Lewin back in, we'll be sound.
Agree, Mick, as well. You were dead impressed with Mopey today, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. He was very, very good. I think generally speaking, I think I mentioned on the weekly last week, I think today was one of those games that overviews like how we really see how the season's gone so far. You know, we lose today, and I think people the narrative starts to go quite negatively, whereas we win, you know, with 5 or 6 games unbeaten, you start to look, maybe, you know, we beat Southampton, which it's difficult, but we can win. That's 7 games unbeaten, another win on the board. It kind of changes the pictures of where the season was. It was important that we won today. I don't think we were excellent, but if you can't be excellent, if you can't be perfect, be lucky. And I think the times we were a little bit lucky, and we've missed that previously. It was a little bit like some of the Ancelotti performances in the past. We weren't brilliant, but like, we scored when it matters. And really, I think when we went 1-0, maybe it was because it was a Moyes team, I didn't really think we were going to concede again. Maybe that was a bit of naivety of me, but you know, I think quite a lot of people have, you know, shouted out Mopey, you know, Odrisagay again, another one, perfect, Onana and Mopey. But I think Cody and Tarkowski and Patterson as well. And Mikhailenko, even Begovic, the whole back five, didn't have a lot to do, but when they did it, I thought they were outstanding. Ultimately, though, we got a win. And in the similar vein to other few other people, the monkeys off the back, we've got 3 points on the board, and I think we're like 12th, 13th instead of 17th, and all of a sudden we're like 3 points off 5th.
Conference League, here we come.
Matt, is Frank Lampard's best characteristic that he's managed to jinx the goalpost in our favour somehow? Because I think that's 7 times in 4 games that the opposition team's hit the post. So, I mean, we'll take it, won't we?
I think it's more of a case of we're limiting the opposition to half chances. And I always repeat it, if you hit the woodwork, it's not a shot on target. So we're limiting them to shots off target. They could hit the woodwork or could sail over the bar. It's the same thing when it comes to the stats. And the way they're set up, we're not just hard to beat, we're hard to score against. Me and Rob have spoken about
this. Goal today, to be fair, I mean, that got in, wasn't it? Like, that one hit the post.
I thought it was going to clip the post and creep in.
Come on, shin. Shin it.
But, yards.
But you know, it's an if, it's an a maybe, it didn't happen. So we're here laughing. But yeah, we're just, me and Rob have spoken about like the XG against and all that, and how we may have appeared to be right in our luck this season, but I think it sort of speaks to a bigger mentality that the manager's installed in the players. And I think the thing that sums it up for this game today is when we scored, because it's been a long standing Everton thing that 10 minutes after half time is when we've been the most vulnerable. Yeah. So many times we've given up a goal there. We were the ones to score today, and it didn't feel quite Everton as I've known it. It feels like a lot of things have kind of been turned on their head. And we were going through the players there and saying, oh, you know, we had Davis to come on, we had Zagoria to come on, we've got a bit of strength and depth, blah, blah. We had written all them players off 6 weeks ago. We were ready to clear out the entire squad, but now we're like, oh, actually, you know, they're not so bad. And again, I think that's just massive credit needs to go to the manager, because I said before this season started, I thought we wouldn't be in as bad a position as we were last year, because all Frank Lampard had to do was raise everyone's game by 10%. And then that would get us to that coveted 14th place or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sweet, sweet, boring season.
And I think he's done that and more. I really do. Like, to a man, every single one of them players looks like they are playing with confidence. Even though we weren't getting the results until today, we were getting a few draws and stuff like that, we've been moving in the right direction, but every single one of them players are playing with confidence, and they're playing with the chest out. And if you were to look at them, you'd think they won 5 on the spin. Is that made up?
I think in terms of what the recruitment side of things and just coming into the season now, is that you talk about strength and depth, but got lads looking round there now. Your Decores, or even you can look at the front three, Gray, Gordon. You're actually being picked because you're playing well. You're not being picked because there's no one else to come in. Tom Davis and Alan and Decore last season, it took Fabian Delph to strap his legs together and hop for 5 games for us to actually have some form of competition in midfield. And what it's come to now is that we've got players who are being pushed by the manager, being pushed by other players, and they're having to perform or else they're not in and out. And if you look at Dwight McNeil, you can look at him as a bit of a big signing for Everton over the summer, but he's getting kept out of the team by 2 other lads. But all the more better for Everton, really, because then you've got quality to come on, and you've got lads who are motivated by having to keep the shirt. And if you're not playing well, then it can be changed very quickly.
Does anyone want to talk about Alex Iwobi and tell me what's happened? Like, because I was watching him today, I was like, I can't believe this lad 18 months ago was like sort of held up as like the figure of all that's gone wrong with this football club. Yeah. And now he is genuinely one of the best midfielders in the league.
I think what's happened is he's woke up one morning and realised that he's been putting his shoes on the wrong feet for the last year. And he's swapped them round and he's just gone, this makes so much sense. Do you know what? He's a confidence player. He's the very definition of a confidence player. And he came into a team that wasn't really doing great. Like, Everton have never really overperformed while Iwobi's been here. He's been a bit part player. He was shunted out onto the wing. He was like, they played him at wing back and all sorts. And it's never really happened for him for one reason or another. Until Lampard stuck him in midfield towards the end of last year, more through like necessity than anything else, and he's taken his chance and he seized it with both hands, and he's shown that he's probably one of the form centre midfielders in the league. Absolutely, right now. Yeah. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say. Like, he's not a world class footballer like the likes of De Bruyne and whatnot who play centre mid, but he's that player that every team needs, in that he will do the dirty work all day long, but he does it and he makes it look really good when he does it. Like, he'll chase back 40 yards, but then when he wins the ball, he'll do a little pirouette, a little skill move to get out of trouble, carry the ball 10 yards up the field. And every single time, this is the big thing with Alex Iwobi, every single pass he makes is positive, and the vast majority of them are adventurous. Like, he'll see a ball on that no one else has seen, and it cuts the lines and it gets the ball 30 yards up the pitch into the striker's feet, into the winger's feet, out on the touchline. And that's hugely important and a very underrated characteristic, I think.
Yeah. I think with Iwobi too, that it's hard sometimes, and I think I go through this phenomenon every time I've been over, because they're seeing these players on television, and then they're seeing all the things you don't see in person today. And, you know, we have these very talk radio-friendly, talk sportish debates about captaincy and, you know, who's the captain and what does that mean, etc. But what Everton have been lacking in general is leadership across the board, throughout the squad, not just one single player who is going to be responsible for settling everything down. And with Iwobi, he seems to impact things not just with his play, but with his demeanor, with the fact that he wants the ball, with the fact that when Patterson and Gordon are going at each other after a blown assignment, and they're just, you know, you have a cooler head like Iwobi stepping between them and saying, you know, guys, it's okay, let's calm down, let's keep going forward. I'm not here for the captaincy argument. What I am here is for players who find ways to lead in ways that are both big and small, substantial and intangible. And I think that Alex Iwobi not only is elevating the overall play of the squad, the midfield, etc., but we've oftentimes fallen into the trap of evaluating players, especially young players that come in, and are they going to just figure it out, like as if they only develop in a vacuum. One of the things that excites me so much about Onana, for instance, is not just that he's a quality player who I think will be good, but that he is surrounded by an Alex Iwobi, that he is surrounded by, in this case now, an Idrissa Gana Gueye. I can't think of a better environment in terms of giving someone significant minutes that you want to develop as part of your future than to be playing with a player of the present like Alex Iwobi right now. And from that standpoint, I'll go ahead and throw this out because I knew I was going to say this at least once today, and seeing this certainly validated it more. Give Alex Iwobi a new contract. He's going to be at 18 months in January. I don't want to hear about how much he's making. We need to secure him to better terms. Reward him. We wanted Pickford. I remember Jordan Pickford when we all said, well, let's see if he can keep this form up. He kept it for such a sustained period of time that now it's just a given that, of course, you would give him a new deal. I think Alex Iwobi has shown that this is not a fluke. He is really playing to this level. He deserves a new deal, and he's certainly elevating Everton at the moment.
There's a few things, Matt, for me with Iwobi. There was a quote last season, I think he said about... He was the regular boo boy, wasn't he? He was the one who all the fans were like... If this is all we've got, we're going nowhere. And he played well in he had a bit of good form, played well in a few good games. And he said, I misplaced the pass, but the crowd recognised that I was trying to do something positive. And it was almost as if there was the penny drop moment for him. It was like, if I work hard there, I'll get a pass from the fans. I think the second thing was the Newcastle goal. I think the wave of optimism after that goal, and the fact that he scored it, did them a world of good. And I think the final thing, and Matt alluded to this earlier, I think Lampard's managerial and coaching ability to get the best out of Iwobi, the fact that he's playing forward passes and not negative backward passes all the time. And he compliments that midfield, Rob said then, you know, he compliments the youth in Onana and the experience in Gana Gueye. I said it earlier, I can't think of a player in my lifetime who's gone from being the regular, like, I can't believe he's playing for us, to now being an absolute shoo-in for he's got to be on the team. And he, again, on Saturday, I don't think he did anything amazing today, but he did enough to be man of the match. And Keith said earlier about, you know, he was found wanting sometimes on the wing. Well, that's so today when Doucouré come on, he put Iwobi on the wing.
It was great.
And it says so much about his confidence that he did a great job on the wing as well. So he's the first name on the team sheet, and I'm just so happy for him that he's turned things around. And what a player we've got. He's genuinely one of the best midfielders in the league at the minute on current form.
There's a feeling, I think, now, especially from a lot of the points the lads have said, and you can just sense it within, I don't know, the Everton community, whether it's online or in real life, that we're starting to look ahead of ourselves now. We're starting to look upwards instead of over our shoulders at teams that, well, where are we going to pick up a point against these, or are these going to start to, I don't know, hit a bit of form? It's Everton now starting to win games for themselves almost, really, and start to try and climb up that league, which is something we haven't said for a long, long time. Everton are progressing now, and I've said it numerous times, that comes with a style of play, it comes with a vision, and it comes with a formation or a way of playing, however you want to put it, that is meant. And that's the end of my sentence, really. It looks like we have a clear plan here, and it's not just square pegs, round holes, it's not just make do and see how we get on. This is something that Frank Lampard and Kevin Thelwell and the staff at Everton now are starting to really make into a well-oiled machine. And if we continue to do so, we'll go from saying, don't know where the next points are coming from, to, do you know what, I fancy us to go down there and get all three, or I fancy us to go on a bit of a run, or exactly, or get into a position where we're starting to get results where last season we'd written them off. And it's just really nice to see, and I think, again, it just comes from a number of factors around the club and on the pitch that all seem to be coming together.
Just a couple of other things to finish off. Mick, you mentioned, you know, keeps me showing a stats there about how good Everton's defending is. I think only Brighton have conceded fewer goals in the league this season. Begovic today as well, really good, wasn't he? Everything he had to do, he did really well.
And he was comfortable. And there wasn't, other than like the first set piece where you're like, this is the test, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was sound the whole game. To be fair, one of the things I was really impressed by, and I thought we'd kind of miss without Pickford, was his kicking. I think with Pickford, like, usually, like, one of the things, like, he's kind of really, like, I don't know, looked out for is, you know, is playing out from the back, and that wasn't Miss Begovic was completely sound with it. And I think probably maybe if it was 12 months ago with Michael Keane and Ben Godfrey or Mason Holgate in front of him, it would have been a very different situation. I don't know, I've already, like, shouted them out, you could say, but, like, I think that's a big thing you get from Cody and Tarkowski, and you saw it all day, the communication, that, you know, the times that they are actively bringing Patterson and Mikalenko through the game, and then same with Onana, and then the same with the battering the referee during the game. It's something I think we've missed for years. I know it's a very obvious thing, but it's those tiny things that do make a difference. And as someone who was critical of the Cody signing, don't tell Rob I said that. I think he's been really, really good. I'm surprised he was captain today, by the way. I thought Tarkowski would get it, but yeah, both of them were excellent, and so was Begovic.
Make him passion, Keith.
Have we shared? Honestly, the yet, by the way, have we shared
what's this?
No, Nathan, that chance Cornet had that looked like it got fluffed there. Patterson got a toe on that, and that's what kept the game from leveling up. But yeah, no, Patterson.
Honestly, so I said to a lot of people, we need to be patient with Nathan Patterson. He's young, he's raw, he hasn't played a lot of first team games. I think at this point, it's safe to say we don't have to be patient anymore. Right? Yeah. Genuinely, we have got potentially a superstar on our hands there. He has got everything that I would ever want from an Everton defender, an Everton fullback, in that he's quick, he's energetic, he's strong, he's aggressive, and he doesn't take any shit from anyone. You look, there was a couple of times today, Mikel Antonio tried to muscle him off the ball. Now, he's not a small lad, let's be honest. Right? Patterson held him off the ball, even going so far as to, like, shoulder him away from the ball to roll it out of play. He did the same a few times. Carrying the ball forward, he's so quick getting forward that he drags the whole game up with him. Like, the game, everyone else has to keep pace with him, and he takes the whole... He could pick the ball up 30 yards out from our goal, and next thing you know, he's 10, 15, 20 yards inside their half.
That's what Coleman used to do, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, when he was younger.
Yeah. Like, Coleman was a great fullback for Everton. He has been a very good fullback. But you've seen his legs have gone, and he didn't have what he used to have. So it was important that we got a player in that mould that's going to carry Everton up the pitch, that's going to, like, get the fans all out of their seats and excited about watching someone sprinting down the wing. And you see, a few of the crosses he put in today were ridiculous. West Ham, I've got to give them credit, they defended crosses very well today, West Ham. They attacked everything. If you chuck Calvert-Lewin into the equation there as a potential target for the headers. I think those two will combine quite a few times this season when he gets back in. But he's genuinely like growing into one of my favourite players for Everton right now.
We've spoken about it numerous times, and it's like such a double-edged sword, really, when as Evertonians we watch players like Seamus Coleman or like Leon Osman, if you think back a little bit further, where they were emotional in terms of wanting to win, but also you could feel when there was certain games or certain aspects of a game where it would get the better of them. And the prime example for me on the pitch today is Idrissa Gueye, where he couldn't care less about who he's playing for there, you know. Everton don't matter, he's just a robot. And you look at the best teams in the world, they're all robots. They've got no emotion. They don't seem to get done by an atmosphere or by any form of, I don't know, as I say, a game going either way or being under pressure. And the perfect example, I think, Nathan Patterson is a bit of a robot, actually.
Is it cold, isn't he? It is.
It's
aggressive, but like cold and shrinking and stuff.
It's a way in which a team becomes successful because it's a job. And Nathan Patterson's just doing his job. Idrissa Gueye just does his job. At times that season, you look at Seamus Coleman and I felt sorry for the man, because it's more than a job to him. This is his life. And Everton have had players over the years, especially, you know, the likes of Michael Keane. You look around, even Abdoulaye Doucouré, at times that season, it meant so much to him. And in a way, it holds them back, essentially. And all it takes for Everton is to get the recruitment right and to get lads in who are going to perform at a good level week on week. And any stadium, any form of position we find ourselves in a game, you just carry on doing your job. Nathan Patterson did his job to the best of his ability today, and that's exactly what happens when you set your stall out, you defend well, you know what you're good at, and you stick to your guns. And again, the likes of him, Idrissa Gueye, and then you look around at the team and people are starting to get the levels raised by these lads, because, as I say, the recruitment's been brilliant, because we've strengthened, but we've also brought in players who are going to lead us, and those two at the back for me have proven me wrong massively.
There we go.
After that,
I'm absolutely delighted that Rob Vera's come over all this way, seen a win, and he's had a good weekend. That's all that matters.
He can party tonight, why not?
Yeah, he can party tonight.
Stat of the day again, 3-1 with Rob Vera at Goodison Park. Champions League form. I can't do...
Can we crowdfund?
I can't, I was going to say, I can't do... I mean, I may not do funny bits online, but if you want to crowdfund me for more visits across the sea to see this team, just let me know. But no, it is so... And I'm sure we've said this before. We probably said this even after Palace, but as much as certain issues with the squad can at times feel terminal, especially with Everton, where they've had the same season so many seasons in a row, we have noticed, and today was a testament to it, that things can change really quickly with sound decision-making. a sound director of football, sound management, and so on. Job's not done. It's very early. But again, and we kind of to bookend it from the beginning, a win today solidifies how we felt about this start, especially about the overall streak going into this game. And so, you know, from that standpoint, I think that there's a lot of good to take away from it. And Again, it's just nice to be back at Goodison. It's nice to feel this feeling. It's nice to be amongst friends again and up the toffees.
up the toffees indeed. We'll leave it there. We are in the Denby Castle as ever. It's about to go off. It's going to be a disco. It's going to be
sponsored by
Denby Castle and Underberg.
Which
everybody is drinking right now, and everyone. It's really nice. So if you see it anywhere, go and get it. It's lovely stuff. So we're going to have an Underberg to celebrate. We're in the Denby. If you want to come, yeah, it's nice, honestly. But we'll leave it there. Cheers to everyone who came on the pod today. We've got a great night. Up the toffees. Speak to you again soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.